Yahweh bless you. We're going to be sharing on a really important, simple subject. It's called Mankind's Story. Genesis 1 through 4, Revelations 19 to 22. So we actually have seven chapters that basically tell the whole story of mankind. And when you look at how people, pastors included, are so mistaught, and then they spew out the incorrect information. And what I was talking about is this is Tishri 1, celebrate on Christ's birth, the 3 BC, I forgot about that. Tishri 1 is today, this is October. I mean, this is September 23rd, 2025. Charlie Kirk was just assassinated about a week ago. And pastors and everybody else is having him in heaven. Nobody's in heaven. And we're going to see this. If you just read the book, nobody's in heaven. You want them to be in heaven. And nobody has a soul either. Just read the book. This is pagan Greek philosophy and other philosophies that have infiltrated our system. So we're going to show you, you can read Genesis 1 through 4, Revelations 19 to 22, and have the whole picture, except for one item, and that was called the sacred secret, the body of the Christ, which was a mystery. So we're not going to cover that, but everything else is right there in this book. So we're going to find out what it's not. Like I said, mankind's story, people don't have a soul. That's psuche, Greek, which is a goddess that leaves the body upon death. That's play to everybody else. It's just garbage. The first usage of nefesh is the only word you can translate soul is Genesis 1:20. And no relationship whatsoever. Animals are living nefeshes. And that has people going somewhere when they die, because this thing is supposed to be leaving our bodies according to Greek philosophy and not according to the word of Yahweh. And the other thing is, people, you know, since they have this immortal thing, it's got to go to heaven, purgatory, limbo, or hell, because it's got to go someplace. And so now we've got pagan pagan theology in our words, not theology, a study of Theos. And so we're going to find out through Genesis and Revelation the story of mankind. It's very simple. So Yahweh did that. You know, man, the word man is the word Adam. The word ground is, anybody remember?
Adame.
Adama. Man, Adam was taken from the Adama. He's a terrestrial person, not celestial. He is terrestrial. We don't live in heaven. Man was put on the earth to rule the earth, period, not to rule heaven. There is going to be a new heaven and earth where we're back on, it is going to be raised and on the earth, living happily ever after on the earth, which we're going to see that in Revelation. So we have, all mankind has one of two choices, bow to the Creator or rebel. And that's the story of Cain and Abel. One chose to bow, the other one rebelled. Was Cain religious? Absolutely. He gave sacrifices. Did he go to church? Absolutely. So we think people in our church are holy. Well, Cain was holy in that aspect. He was a sacrifice while he murdered his brother. Let's go to, we'll start off in Genesis 1:27. Let's just review the foundation of this whole book. We got people who supposedly been reading the Bible for 50 years and they keep talking about going to heaven, going to heaven, going to heaven. It's so sad. It's real simple. It's called inattentive blindness. Inattentive blindness. And inattentive blindness is you're looking at something and you're not seeing it. You're looking at it and you're not seeing it. And here's just a really easy example. Jesus Christ, Yahushua Mashiach, has a God. It's all over the Word. That's Ephesians 1:3, Ephesians 1:17, 2 Corinthians 1:3. It's in Revelations. It's everywhere. if Yahushua Mashiach has a God, he can't be a God. But everybody, if you say, does Jesus have a God? They'll say, he is God. No. Does Jesus have a God? They've read the verse 1,000 times. Ephesians 1:3. You ever read Ephesians? Well, yeah, I read Ephesians all the time. 1:3, 1:17. It's right there. That's called inattentive blindness. You're not reading what is written. You're reading into what you've been taught. But Genesis 1:27, and Elohim created the man, or the Adam. They're going to translate it, but it's the word Adam. In his own image, in the image of Elohim created he him, male and female created he them. And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over all the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heaven, and every living thing that moveth on the land. That's our home. It's real simple. That's where Yahweh put us. It was in the garden of, Garden of Eden is what we would call them. Let's see here. And Elohim said, lo, I have given to you every herb yielding seed which is on the face of all the land, and every tree. And many times the word land is earth. Same situation. You can't have land without earth. And the trees wherein the fruit of the tree yields seed to you shall be for food, and to every living thing of the land, and every bird of the heavens, and everything that moves on the land wherein is a living soul. They're not going to translate that soul, because that doesn't validate what they want to teach. That's the word nefesh. Every green herb for food, and it was so. And Elohim saw every living thing which he had made, and lo, it was very good. So it was evening, and it was morning the sixth day. Okay, man is terrestrial. He is taken from the earth. 2:7, chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. So then Yahweh Elohim formed Adam, dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostrils the neshama of life. And it doesn't say spirit, it doesn't say soul, it says neshama of life, and man became a living nephesh. And now they change that to creature or to person, and they're not going to translate, in the Bibles today, they don't translate that. That's the same word, nephesh. He doesn't have a nephesh. He is a living nephesh, and he can also be a dead nephesh. And we know a nephesh is also in the blood. So, I mean, this we shouldn't even have the word soul, because what it brings with it, we should have the word nephesh. This is what Yahweh uses, and this Greek mythology has corrupted our whole mind when we hear the word soul. Now, 8, and Yahweh Elohim planted a garden of Eden on the east and put there the Adam whom he had formed. And Yahweh Elohim caused to spring up out of the ground every tree pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life. There it is. This is the foundation. Adams. Women are Adams. They're made to take care of the earth. And there's a tree of life there. Okay. In the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So here's the choices we're coming into. The tree of life you're going to see in the book of Revelation. At the end of the story. And now we know, okay, we have a choice. Tree of life or tree of good and evil. And that is obedience or bow to Yahweh or rebel. So 15 and 17, same chapter. And Yahweh Elohim took the man, Adam, and placed him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. What is our purpose? To take care of earth. That's mankind. And Yahweh laid command on the Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt go to heaven. That's what the church teaches. You die and you go to heaven. Your soul leaves your body. No, thou shalt die. But wait a minute here. We've got the tree of life now, and now we've got something called death. Or in Hebrew, it's dying, you do, thou dost die.
Thou shalt.
It says twice. It's mute, M-U-T-H. The word is used twice. Dying, thou dost die. Okay, so now we're learning something. We're learning about it. We have a choice. We can take the tree of life, or we can die. We can obey, or we can rebel. And we know, obviously, what they did. Now we go to 3:14 and 15. We all know the story. Then there's another thing called a serpent. I guess we look at 3:1. Now the serpent, who was more crafty than any living thing of the field, which Yahweh Elohim had made. Okay, he introduces, guess what? That same entity or being is in Revelation.
It's what?
In the book of Revelation. He's part of our story. Okay, now we go to 14 and 15. Then said Yahweh unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, accursed art thou above every tame beast, above every wild beast of the field. On thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of our life. And enmity will I put between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Okay, we're just informed of the a new seed, which obviously we know is the Mashiach. And he shall crush thy head, but thou shalt crush his heel. Okay, so we see a battle. And guess where this is culminated? In the book of Revelation. He comes down and crushes Satan, the serpent. And we're going to see he imprisoned him for 1,000 years. There's the same story. Now we go to 19.
Wait a minute.
3:19. We're always just going to be in Genesis 1 through 4 or Revelations 19:22. So I'll just say the verses. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return to the Adamah. Till thy soul leaves thy body. No. This is the story.
Return
to the Adamah. Because therefore was thou taken. For dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. No. The people are in heaven. The guy who was just assassinated, instead of him being in the ground, he's in heaven. And so the natural thing is he's got a wife and 2 children. Wouldn't they like to be together? Why don't we kill them so they can be a happy family in heaven with Jesus? Isn't that demonic? And that is the Christian church's teaching today. Catholic and Protestant. That's the teaching of the Christian church. Well, no. You can't have one or not the other.
No.
You can't have one or not the other. Either in heaven, heaven's a good place, or it's not in heaven. You're going to say it's in heaven, and then everybody wants to go to heaven, so everybody should die and go to heaven and be with Jesus. Demonic? Absolutely. Now we go to 22. Of chapter 3. Then said Yahweh Elohim, lo, man has become like one of us in respect of knowing good and evil. Now therefore, thus, lest he thus force his hand and take even of the tree of life and eat and live 2 times the age of body. Well, the Sadducees said what? There's no resurrection. Never read Genesis. Here's the tree of life and live what? Age abiding. To the Sadducees, when you're dead, you're dead. And there's other people say, well, the new life is not in the old covenant. It's all over the place, and it's right here. You know, if they took of the tree of life and eat and lived 2 times the age abiding. Now we go to 4. You know that? Okay, so they're kicked out of the garden, so they can't live forever, which is good, because we're going to see the tree of life at the end of the book. 4, let's see here, verse 1. Now the Adam, having come to know Eve, his wife, she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have gotten a man, even Yahweh. Isn't it ironic that mankind rebelled against Yahweh? Eve was deceived, the man was not deceived. And their first child is a murderer. The first child is a murderer. Ow, this is mankind. Because why? He chose to murder. As we know, he chose to murder his brother because his works were righteous. Let's see here. Let's go to 25:26 of chapter 4. So chapter 4 begins with Cain and ends with Seth, which is going to carry on the line of the woman, the seed of the woman. 25 and 26, and Adam, again knew his wife, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For Elohim had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, because Cain slew him. And to Seth, to him also was born a son, and he called his name Enosh. Then was a beginning made to call on the name of Yahweh. So that's, here's chapter 4. Cain, a murderer. Seth, the replacement. Abel bows. Cain does not. Exact same story today. There is no in-between. You either bow or you're going to die. And permanently. Now we go to the book of Revelation. And it's called the revelation of not of Jesus Christ. It's the unveiling of Yahushua Mashiach. So we go to Revelations 14. Revelation means unveiling. The unveiling of Yahushua Mashiach. King of kings and Lord of lords. And here's the end of the book. But guess what? People don't like the end of the book.
Yeah, they.
And so they write other books. Now here's one. It's done about 200 A.D. This is the formation of the man-made doctrine, the beginning of the formation of the man-made doctrine of the Trinity. There is no Trinity in this book. There's one in this book. This is Tertullian against Praxia. Yeah. So we got history on that. So, we all know the book of Revelation is judgment time, and Yahweh is still giving people choices to bow or burn, you know, or be thrown in a lake of fire. Bow, or, and people choose all the time. They choose not to bow. And so we're going to see that in chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. And I saw another messenger flying in mid heaven, having an age-abiding glad message to announce unto them who are dwelling upon the what? Earth, not heaven. The story is not in heaven, it's earth. It's always going to be earth. Even unto every nation and tribe and tongue of people, saying with a loud voice, fear Yahweh and give him glory, because the hour of his judging is come, and do homage unto him. Homage is bow to him that made heavens and the earth and sea and fountains of water. Well, no, that's Jesus. Jesus made this book is wrong, because Jesus made the heavens and the earth, not God. Well, then he's God in this place. You know, it just becomes insane, because we're going to find out in Genesis we have Elohim, Yahweh, and the seed of the woman, and in the book of Revelation we have Yahweh and his only begotten son. Yahushua. There is no three. There is no Trinity. In the beginning of the book, there's no Trinity at the end of the book. Let's see here. I got that. And we know Miriam don't bow. So now we just go to 19. The last four chapters of Revelation tells the whole story. First four chapters of Genesis, last three chapters of the book of Revelation. Everything has to fit into that. Let's see here, and we're going to look at 19:11, verse 13. And I saw a new heaven set open, and lo, a white horse, and he that was sitting thereon, faithful and true, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war, and his eyes are a flame of fire. Guess what? This is the prophecy being fulfilled. He shall crush your head. This is Mashiach Yahushua. And upon his head are many diadems, having a name written which is no one knoweth but himself, and arrayed with a mantle, sprinkled with blood, and with name has been called the Word of Yahweh. Let's see here. Let me see if I stop there. 13, yeah. Now we'll go to 19 to 21, same chapter. And I saw the wild beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war with him, Yahushua. These are children of Cain, what they've chosen, who was sitting upon the horse and with his army. And the wild beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, who wrought the signs before him, whereby he deceived them who received the mark of the wild beast, and them who are doing homage unto his image. Alive, look at this, it's great emphasis. Alive, They too cast into the lake of fire. How many entities are cast into the lake of fire alive? According to the church, everybody all the sinners are going to hell alive, and they're going to be tortured. No such thing. There is no hell. There is a Sheol, and there is a valley of Hinnom, but there is no Hebrew or Greek word for this place called hell. Everybody knows that. There is a place called, the Lake of Fire. Yeah. And we're going to find out about the Lake of Fire. That burneth with brimstone. And that's called the Lake of Fire. It's not called hell. It's called the Lake of Fire. So we have the Lake of Fire, we have Sheol, and we have Valley of Hinnom. And the rest were slain with the sword of him that was sitting. Why did he throw them all into the Lake of Fire? Because they're going to die. These guys are going to die. The other two are not dying. Yeah, they're being tortured. And were slain with the sword of him that was sitting upon the horse, which went forth out of his mouth, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Okay, so these guys died. So, okay, he's winning. That is the seed of the woman. Now we go, got 19 to 21. We got that. Now we go to 21, chapter 21 through 6. And I saw a messenger coming out of heaven. Okay, so this is all on earth, right? Okay,
yes, yeah. It's coming down.
Yahushua came down to earth. Okay. And we're going to find out where are all the dead people. It's going to tell us where all the dead people are. And they're not in heaven at this particular time. We're going to see this. And I saw a messenger coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain upon his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is adversary of the accuser, and bound him for 1,000 years. Wow. Okay. Does anybody even know about this? You know, this 1,000-year reign upon the new earth, which you're going to see, and cast him into the abyss and fastened and sealed over him, and he that he might not deceive the nations anymore until the 1,000 years should be ended. After these must he be loosened for a short time. And I saw, this is on the earth. Christ is reigning on planet earth in Jerusalem on Mount Zion, where David, the fire came down from heaven on Mount Moriah, and I forgot the guy's threshing floor. His threshing floor, that's where Yahweh's temple is. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and sentence of judgment was given upon them, and I saw the souls of them who had been, and that's, soul is nefesh. It's not the souls, I mean, it's the lives of them. So, majority of all the times, not nefesh, suke in Greek. In suke, they're going to translate it half the times life when it says, do not give up your, let me see, oh yeah, lay down your life for the brethren. It's the word suke. So they don't say, lay down your soul for the brethren. So at that time, they don't tell you, we're going to put the word lives in there. But they go back and forth, so half the time it's not translated souls, it's going to be translated lives, and you don't know which one it is because they're not honest. Rothman will tell you. Them who had been beheaded because of the witness of Yahushua, because of the word of Yahweh, and such as he had done homage unto the wild beast, had not done homage to the wild beast, or unto his image, nor had received the mark upon their forehead, or upon their hand, and they lived. Look at this, and they lived. I thought they were already alive. No. And they lived and reigned with the Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead. What do you mean the rest of the dead? They're in hell or purgatory or limbo or in heaven. No. The rest of the dead lived not. Well, they got the dead living everywhere. Until the 1,000 years was ended. So we've got, let's keep going. This is the first resurrection. Oh. It doesn't happen, these people, it does not happen until Revelation chapter 20. Now this is, you know, not for the age of the sacred secret, you know, which is hidden. That's us. But that was not known in this particular time frame. This is the first resurrection. Happy and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection upon these. The second death, I don't get the idea. Okay, it's called the second death. We know in Genesis 1:20 it was die, you just die. And now we're going to learn about resurrection. And then there's a second death. There's another third death. Everybody's going to get resurrected, whether you like it or not. The bad people are going to get resurrected, which we're going to see. And they're going to die again after they pay their dues. The second death has no authority, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for the 1,000 years. So now we got people not in heaven. We got the first resurrection with people running the earth for 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a long time.
There are a lot of people here.
Yes, there's billions of people here running the earth who are resurrected. Right? Because dust thou art, to dust thou shalt be. Now they're up from the dust. Not till then. So Charlie Kirk, where is he? He's in Sheol, where every dead person is. Abraham's there. David's there. You know, Abel is there. They're all waiting for the resurrection. Okay, that's 2:6. Oh, and you want to find out who's in heaven, read chapter 4 and chapter 5 in the book of Revelation, because John gets a vision into the heavens and he sees Yahweh. Alright, he sees the throne. He sees the 24 elders.
24 elders.
Yeah, 24 elders. He sees messengers. He sees the cherubims. And there's one man in heaven.
Yahushua.
It's Yahushua. And that's chapter 5. He comes down and takes the scroll. So that's who's in heaven right now. I mean, that's in, even at the end of the book. This is in who's heaven. He was, Moses is not there. Abraham's not there. Abel's not there. All these other people are not there. He's doing that. Okay. Let's see here. 11, okay. 11 through 15 now, chapter 20. As we know, there's judgment, the judgment for Cain also. You know, once he killed Abel, that you're, you know, the ground's not going to give you its fruit. And I saw a great white throne, and him that was sitting thereon, from whose face fled the earth and heaven, and place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, the great, the small, standing before the throne. This is all on earth. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead who had ran it, and death and Sheol gave up the dead. That's where the dead are in Sheol. They're not translated Hades, which is the Greek word, but the word is Hebrew is Sheol. And gave the dead that were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Well, wait a minute, I thought they were already judged, and so right now there is no judgment. when you die, you're judged. And so they got, you know, Charlie Kirk judged, he got another bad person judged. There is no judgment day. They're judged the minute they die. There is no great throne judgment. And these are the people who... And the second resurrection, not the first resurrection, the second resurrection. According to the works, and death and Sheol were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone was not found in the book of life written, he was cast into the lake of fire. And that is called the second death, not the second life, the second death. And they're going to have to pay their restitution for justice to be served. And we've done this before, you know. David had Uriah murdered. Well, David's got to pay. He can be sorry for his sins, and he did. He repented of his sin, but he still owes Uriah. He still owes Uriah's parents. He still owes Uriah's brothers and sisters, and anybody else who's affected with Uriah. And so David will be glad to give restitution, maybe in this 1,000-year reign, to these family members. And if you're not glad to give restitution for the evil that you have done, you're not where you're supposed to be. You know, you should be willing and be pleading, let me restore the person that I have harmed. That should be your heart. Okay. But right, oh no, I've got to pay for... Yes! Where is your heart? What, are you insane? You're supposed to be under Christ. You're going to say, oh, I thought you forgave me. I took his $10,000 from him, and I said I was sorry. Well, did you pay him back? No. Did it ruin his life? Well, yes. But I said I'm sorry. Do you owe this person? Yes. Pay him. That's called restitution. If you stole something from people in the Old Covenant, you restore it, and then pay a penalty upon that. That's called restoring, because, you know, it's nice to say you've forgiven somebody. Well, that's really nice, but that doesn't help him at all. You know? Unless he calls it even, okay. We've gone over that before. Okay, 11 through 15, we've got that.
And now where are we now?
Now we're going to be in 21. Okay.
Chapter 21?
Yeah, chapter 21. But here is chapter 19. Christ comes back, wins. Chapter 20, the first resurrection from the dead, not in heaven. They're going to help reign for 1,000 years on the earth. Christ will come back to the earth. You know, there was an uprising once the serpent was let out 1,000 years. Other people died. You know, so you can live on a planet, a perfect earth with no adversary. And guess what? They were like the sand of the sea who came against Christ. You know, I mean, that's how sick it is and how much freedom of will that we have. So now it's all clean. There's no more death. Guess what happens? Something's coming down to the earth. And that's chapter 21. Not to heaven, it's coming to the earth. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, the first heaven and the first earth having passed away, and the sea is no more. And the holy city, New Jerusalem, saw I, what?
Coming down.
I'm not going up, am I?
Your room.
It's coming down. It's coming down out of heaven from Yahweh, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And this is very important too. Throughout the word, we're always seeing bride and husband. Bride, that's a covenant, a covenant, a covenant. Yahweh makes covenant with people. It's really interesting. The Ark of the Covenant. It wasn't the Ark was special. It was what was in the Ark. What was it in the Ark? It was the covenant. The verbal agreement that a person said, we will obey these 10 words of the 10 commandments. And guess what? Was one of them Trinity?
No.
Was the Trinity in the Ark of the Covenant?
No.
Well, it is part of the 10 commandments. On the contrary, it's just the opposite. It says, I am Yahweh thy Elohim, thou hast no other gods besides me. And now we got the Trinity in the Ark of the Covenant. You know, with the 10 commandments. Wow. And 3, and I heard a loud voice out of the throne saying, lo, the tent of God, or Yahweh, is with man. Yahweh came down with man on the earth. And he will tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be Elohim with them, and he will wipe away every tear out of their eyes, and death shall be no more, and grief and outcry and pain shall be no more. The first things have passed away. Wow. Now we go to 22, 1 through 5. It's Yahweh and Yahushua. Yahweh and Yahushua. Every church epistles. Greetings from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say greetings from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he pointed out to, you know, 22, and he pointed out to me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, issuing forth out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. Look at that. Yahweh and the Lamb, the throne. Water is issuing out of that. You can read these same counts in Zechariah 14 and Isaiah 60. And they have the 1,000-year reign where you have the sun, and then this reign there is no sun, because Yahweh is the light thereof. So this reign, nobody, death is gone. In the 1,000-year reign, death is still there. You know, if a person dies at 100 years of age, it says like a youth. And so that's in Isaiah 60 and Zechariah 14. So this is all prophesied. So anybody who read the word realizes it's the new earth. It's not heaven. Yeah. And we thought that with... who's the guy at the Charlie Hurt? the guy from Cuba.
Marco Rubio.
Marco Rubio said, he's the only one that was accurate.
Yeah.
We will see Charlie Kirk in the new heaven and new earth.
Yeah.
Everybody else will say, he's in heaven right now. No, Marco Rubio is the only one who says, we will reunite with Charlie Kirk on the new heaven and new earth. Pastors don't even know about the new heaven and new earth. And then, let's see here. Let me start over. One, and he pointed out to me a river of water of life and bright as crystal issuing forth out of the throne of Elohim and of Lamb. In the midst of the broadway there, and on the side of the river on there was a what? Tree of life. We're back to Genesis. Bearing 12 crops of fruit every several months, yielding its fruit, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. We're going to be eating this to live. You know, we think, we thought, well, you eat once and you're there. No. We're going to be plowing where you have farms. You know, that's in, I think, Amos. You know, all the way through here about the new earth, the prosperity. Abraham's going to get all of his land. The 12 tribes are going to get their land. All this stuff's coming back on the earth, not in heaven. And three, no curse shall be anymore, and the throne of Elohim and the Lamb shall be, it's not the throne of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, shall be there, and his servants will render divine service unto him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their foreheads, and night shall be no more, and they have no need of the light of the lamp or of the light of the sun, because Yahweh Elohim will give them light, and they shall reign unto the age of ages. There's a story about where people are when they die. They're dust in the ground. They're going to be resurrected if you choose life. If you don't choose life, you're going to be thrown in the lake of fire after you've paid your penalties. There is one God and one seed, and his name is Yahweh and the seed of the woman. His name is Yahushua Mashiach. He's sitting right next to him at the right hand of Elohim. So back to the point. People don't have souls. They live on. There is no Hebrew word for what they're doing. There is a Greek word for the psuche, which is Greek mythology. And we got Hades, which is Greek mythology. These are all gods. Hades was a god, and he ruled the underworld. Psuche was a female goddess. And so we have plenty of that. And it's intermixed with pseudo false Christianity. It has nothing to do with this book. Okay, and we're going in there, and I'll give a prophecy.
Aaron, you can pop this right there on the floor.
Well, Father, we thank you for these words, you Mashiach Yahushua. Be bold, because you are courageous. If you put on my word and act upon it, many people think about my word, pray about my word, but they will not act upon my word. I want you to put it into action, which is what faith is, and it will set you free, and the world around you will be set free, and light emanating from you will shine and represent me. Amen. See you next week.